fellow entrepreneur and also entrepreneur coach, Perdeep Sangha, joins me today to talk about his journey on the entrepreneurial path. He's learned a lot about balancing altruism with business and why it's not terrible to raise your prices. It felt weird for him the first time he did it, but the client still said yes anyway. Making the mental switch to value-based pricing is a big part of how a business makes it in this world. There's plenty of mindset involved in it, and today's episode will help you learn more about his unique approach to helping businesses help themselves. If you're just starting on your own entrepreneurial journey, or you've been on it for a while and could learn something new, listen into this episode. Afterward, get to know Perdeep by visiting his site, perdeepsangha.com, or email him at team@perdeepsangha.com.
Yeah, how about yourself?
Oh, about the same. I'm always coming up with wild things to work on and, you know, come up with revenue streams for the business and meet new people.
Oh, good.
And, you know, have cool podcasts with folks, and it's fun, you know. It's fun life, you know. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you're back in your vehicle. I love it.
I am. This is like my man cave. I work out here quite a bit because I do a lot of podcasts with people, but it's good. It's nice and quiet out here. So, yeah, well, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say with four girls. Yeah.
I got to have some me space. This is like my he shed, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
So, well, walk me through a little bit. I know I had you on the other show and, you know, different audience here. You know, this is the one that's more entrepreneurial focused, kind of hear more about the journey. So let's start with, you know, what your company does. Let's open up there.
Yeah, absolutely. So our, it depends on which company, but so I do a number of different businesses. I'm in the real estate game, for example, in agriculture, but my passion's in the consulting and the coaching side. And we work with startups to seasoned enterprises to really help them in different areas, from marketing to operations to leadership development, team development. Pretty much everything except for we don't really dabble in the risk management side or the financial side, although we're building a division for mergers and acquisitions, but basically helping businesses grow.
Cool.
And yeah, and that's fundamentally it.
Neat. You know, I think that's sort of like one of the directions we're going to. It's like you start off like way down deep in the trenches and you kind of just get up, and then you're like, wow, there's all kinds of stuff that, you know, you can help a business with just to like help them move faster, help them get out of their own way. And that's neat. How was it, like, what made you decide to start up this particular business? I know you got 17 different things going on, but like this one, like what was it that made that happen?
Well, it's really my passion because I love helping people. I think that's the biggest thing. And I love, you know, if I took a look at what I love to do the most, it's learn, develop systems, and then help other people implement them and actually get the results of my curiosity and skills and knowledge, you can say. So I was a personal trainer at 17. So I learned at that age that I loved helping people. I loved helping people achieve their goals. So I started this for two reasons. Maybe I should say three. A is because I wanted to help people, and that's just naturally my passion in life and my purpose. So I wanted to do that. B, there was a need out there, or there is a need out there, because a lot of businesses need help, whether that's entrepreneurs or organizations, enterprises. And C, because I have a very unique skill set that I would say very few people have in terms of my approach and the different areas that we take a look at. I take a lot of you could say we take the neuroscience aspect of it. So we go real deep into how things operate, how people operate, for example, and incorporate that all together to provide the services that we provide for businesses. Long story short, businesses need help. And having an expert by your side, whether it's a consultant, a coach, advisor, whatever it is, can only do good things. As long as a person is good, can only do good things. So we have a great team that we have that help organizations in different areas. We have marketing professionals that focus on marketing. We have people that focus on operations. So it was just basically a need, a desire, and a passion.
Very cool. Very cool. It's interesting how neuroscience comes up, you know, where kind of have to get into people's heads to understand how to help them And it's not just about sprinkling technology around. It's like, yeah, building deep relationships with people seems to work really well. I'm curious, you know, what have been some of the biggest challenges you can think of that you've overcome as you've built out your dream? You got any crazy war stories you want to share?
Well, I don't know if there's any war stories, but the biggest challenge was really figuring out what we wanted to specialize in. That was our biggest challenge. And we struggled with that for a few years because we were trying to be the be all and end all for everybody. And because we had just such diverse skills, me including in my team, for example, we did so many different things. And we just, and I think that slowed us down quite a bit and stopped us from our growth pattern because we didn't really focus on a specific target market and create authority within a certain market. So although we can do all that, we realized that, hey, look, we have to be known for something. So what do we want to be known for? And that's when things started to change, is when I really got narrow and focused on that. And focused on things like when we talk about neuroscience with people, having the right systems. And so applying those kinds of things, energy management for people, then that perked people's interest rather than just talking about regular marketing or operations. That's when we started to get traction. So it was really interesting because our consulting, we don't really have a formal website for it, which is really interesting because I have my website. And I filter through in terms of where the work needs to go afterwards. And it's a very strategic aspect because I work specifically with men. And once I get in there, once we start figuring out what needs to be done, and then we bring my team on and typically all the different things. But we had to find that one into a business. And that was the biggest challenge.
Okay. Well, what was it like before you decided to specialize? Like what were people's heads at, basically? Like, was it chaotic, crazy? Like, oh my goodness, like what the heck? Like, what was it like?
It wasn't doing anything. We were not making an impact. We were not differentiating ourselves compared to anybody else. So, you know, what made our consulting any different than anybody else's, or coaching any different than anybody else's? The consulting and coaching world, you can find one, you know, I don't want to put it down, but it's like a dime a dozen. You can find one anywhere, but finding a good one is different. So I think it was challenging for us because we just really, when someone asked us what we did, we were like, well, we could do everything. And that's not really a great selling proposition.
Yeah. It's not. It's like when you try to spread yourself too thin, and like you said before, be all things to all people, it's like, it just doesn't ring true. Like, people don't know what they can come to you about, you know? Yeah, man, that's a sticky point for us too. That's an identity crisis we had, and we're figuring it out. But, you know, talking to you, it's like, hey, we're on the right track. We're we're finding that niche, man. So
yeah, and it's about being distinct too.
Yeah,
because it's not just about being different. It's about being distinct. What really makes you stand out? Like, you want to be one of those. Businesses that people wonder, even if it's like these guys are doing something crazy, but you want to be known for something. And that's why I laugh, like individuals like Trump, for example. You know, the reason why he's got so much fame is because he's so different, right? And he just captured attention regardless, because he just did crazy things and it got him the attention and he got what he wanted. So it's about being different. It's about being distinct. And that's a great marketing strategy. And we've seen that work over the last 4 years.
Nice. I'm learning some cool things from you, man. You know, this is neat stuff. It's neat stuff. So in your journey and, you know, in talking with you previously and now even, you seem like a pretty introspective guy. You've probably learned some things about yourself. You've changed as you've gone on this entrepreneurial path. What are some things that you've learned about yourself?
Well, one thing is I to watch what I say, but I'm not always the best entrepreneur. And what I mean by that is that my first intent is always to help someone. That's what I love doing. And I've done that probably way too many times in the past when I've had businesses, for example, and I've literally just given the farm away because I wanted to help people. And this was in in my different businesses. And I kind of learned that from my parents as well. But, you know, we were always about giving back to the community. We were always about giving back to our employees. We were always about just giving first before we take ourselves. And that doesn't always work well in business. And so I had to learn that approach, that business is business, and I can give back in other ways. So I can give back in philanthropic I can't even say it right now. Philanthropy, basically, you know, give back in those ways. I donate some of my hours every week to help people for free, for startups, for example. So I give back in other manners, not necessarily in my business anymore. That was a hard lesson for me to learn. So it was treating business as business. And I can still help people, but if I'm going to help people at a lower cost or for free, I'm going to do it outside of business.
Right. Okay. Very cool. Yeah, it's like altruism is a good thing, but sometimes when it comes to business, it's like, well, altruism doesn't pay the bills. You know, doing things, okay. Yeah, and it wow, that I'm glad you figured that out. Do you think a lot of some of your clients, I guess, do some of the startups, they have that same idea, like, I can help the world and not, you know, I don't want to charge an arm and a leg because I want people to, I want to help them. Like, is that common or?
Oh, very, very common. It's very common for two reasons. It's common because people just have a natural tendency to want to help other people. Mm-hmm. And so that falls into play. They don't want to price gouge anybody else. But the second is they're afraid, and they're from the fact that they feel like perhaps people won't buy their services if they price themselves in a certain category. And that is that's a natural feeling that a lot of people have because they don't want to lose the business to their competition. So they undervalue it. It's something that I had to learn the hard way too. And I had to do it through a specific exercise I did when I was writing out contracts, consulting contracts, for example. I would look, and if it was a certain amount, I said, I could add more to it. I'm just going to add more to it. Whatever it was, you know, if it was X amount, I was going to X plus what, whatever. And part of me would just be like, oh my God, I don't think, what if the client says, no, I don't know. And most of the time, 80% of the time, the client would say yes.
Yeah.
And that was a great lesson for me to, a great lesson for me to learn. And it's almost fun now because it's kind of like, how much more can I add to this proposal?
It's like, shoot, why didn't I put another zero on there? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, it's, you have to base it on the value that your client is getting or your customer is getting. Not necessarily what you think is of value or what you're delivering. It's what value. And for someone, for example, they could be valuing your services at 10 times what you think it is. So you have to be able to uncover that and discover that.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess kind of migrating that mindset away from charging for your time and, you know, here's an hourly rate kind of thing and getting more into that value-based assessment. That's a hard switch for people. And there's been some folks that have asked me that question. And first I'm like, why are you asking me? You ought to ask Purdeep. He knows better than I do. But it's like, charge by value. And they're like, what? It's like, yeah, you can add more to that, you know? And it's not, if they say no, it's like, okay, well, it's an objection. Talk about it. Let's figure it out. So what, if you could go back 5 years, And I asked this question not with an intent of, oh, I have regrets, I should have learned this before. But, you know, 5 years ago, is there a piece of information that you feel like, wow, if I had known that 5 years ago, then like, where would my career be right now? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, absolutely. And we learned it the hard way. So learning, I think, is always good. We focused a lot on our delivery of product and service. So focusing on making sure that our clients got results. And if I take a look at all of our businesses, it's the same approach because I always want the client to walk away feeling great about the service. And this comes from, you know, my background in customer experience and delivery. I wrote the book Superfans, which is all about, you know, how do you create unwavering customer loyalty? But the one thing that we really didn't focus as much on as we should have is the marketing aspect, the front end marketing. And we probably should have poured more into the front end marketing and then more invested more and been a little bit more specific in our marketing efforts rather than saying, hey, let's perfect our systems and our processes and everything. So our clients are happy. We deliver a great product. Should have been Well, we would need people to know about our product and services first. Mm-hmm. And it goes to the old Elon Musk, who's a brilliant example of this. Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, these guys were all brilliant masters at this. They sold the products and services first and built it after, right? Elon Musk with his new Tesla truck. They had a prototype, came out, sold hundreds of thousands of units. They don't even have the production line ready or whatever it is, right? They may now, but he basically sold a whole lot of stuff because he was good at it. So now they can worry about actually delivering the product. So I think that's ultimately, it's important. And Peter Drucker talked about this, and he's one of the most famous business management consultants in the world, no longer around, but talked about, you know, business is about two specific things. One is innovation and the second is marketing. Those are the two most important things that you can focus on in business. And I agree with them to a certain degree. You definitely want to focus on customer experience and the delivery of the product and service, but marketing is very critical. So that's one thing I would have taken a look at more deeply. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you there. You know, and I know that people say, oh, they'll buy from you if they know, like, and trust you. And it's like, well, marketing is the know part. You know, if they don't know, like, who you are, what you do, how you're helping them, it's like, you know, how are you going to get to the like and trust part? You got to get that marketing piece down.
Yeah, marketing is by far one of the most important things, if not the most important thing in your business. Hmm.
Interesting. So I guess for my last question, as we wrap up here, you know, let's say you're talking to people that are brand new on their entrepreneurial journey. You know, they're just starting out. Like, what piece of sage advice that you can give out for free? Like, what would that be? What wisdom could you impart on these people?
Yeah. The biggest thing is know what you're trying to achieve, because it's tough to work towards something if you don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. So have that end goal in mind and have the right people on your side. Because trying to do it alone is going to be a very tough journey. So what we do is we always, whether it's hiring people, finding the right partnerships, whatever it looks like, if we are looking to achieve something in our business now, we always look at who can we go to help us? Who can we go to accelerate this? For example, we are business management experts, consultants, but when we do things like PR, for example, we don't have any internal expertise for public relations. So we go to the best out there because we know that will accelerate our results significantly compared to trying to do it ourselves or learn it ourselves, because trying to learn something yourself is great, but then you have to weigh out the long-term impact of, is it actually benefiting you or is it costing you? Because you could pay someone to do that and accelerate your results. So paying someone to do it isn't necessarily about, hey, them doing it better. There's a factor of them doing it faster. Because if you can get the result faster, you can take your business from point A to point B faster. So right. Finding the right people on your team is critical.
Right. Yeah, the more that you can hand off, I mean, it frees up a lot of your time. And I've known plenty of entrepreneurs that are control freaks. I'm a recovering one myself, you know, so I can say that and it's okay for me to say it, but when you try to do everything, nothing gets done. So definitely handing that off. It's such a huge lift off of you, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. And plus you get results. You get way better results.
You do. You get a better result in terms of time that you can devote to other things, but you also give something to that other person where they're like, hey, I can level up on this, and he's handing off work or she's handing off work, and I can improve myself and help this person. So pretty exciting. How would people find you if they wanted to reach out and engage you with helping their business? How would they reach out to you?
Well, the easiest way is you can go to my website page, which is PerdeepSanga.com. There's a contact form, or you can just email us directly at team@PerdeepSanga.com.
Nice. I'll just stick that in the show notes here, and I'll mention that in the intro. Well, it's awesome getting the chance to chat with you again, sir. It's obvious you've got that gift, that spark to help other people, and you're growing and you're changing, and you haven't arrived yet, but you're well on the path. And I'm glad to get to know you a little bit better. All right.
Thank you so much. This has been great.
It's fun, man. Well, take care, and I hope you have a good rest of the week. All right.
You too.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.